Okay, welcome back. Hour number three. Jeff and Erica here again to bring you what we feel are the most important aspects of certain topics and subjects that you ought to consider before you make your decisions, whatever those decisions may be. There are a lot of people out there now who are hailing the arrival of Novavax. It's almost here. Welcome back, partner. How are you?
I'm good. Good to be back, Jeff. Thank you.
Novavax. The Novavax vaccine uses, now it's different than Pfizer, Moderna, Johnson & Johnson, and AZ. It uses a telltale piece of the coronavirus, the notorious spike protein itself. All alone, the spike protein is harmless, they say, and can't cause COVID-19. When your immune system encounters the lonely spike protein, it produces antibodies against it. This gives you, theoretically, protection against future COVID-19 infection. There are only about 200 things wrong with that statement, but that's what you're going to find if you go looking. A lot of BS. It's crap. Tell us what the Novavax vaccine is. I hate even to call it that because it's just another bioweapon. That's all it is. And, you know, maybe we should... Well, go ahead. Spike protein. Okay, now, if all of you who know about spike proteins, and that's most of you, can imagine somebody concocting a vaccine, so-called, made entirely and only of the most deadly thing that humankind has ever created, the spike protein, and put it in a vaccine form, what would you think? What would you think?
I think it was probably a lethal injection.
I think that they kind of keep taking these new steps with a little trickery here and there to make damn sure they're going to have their casualty figures where they want them to be. And if this doesn't work, they've always got nukes. So we're in real trouble here, friends, and it's happened very quickly. 2 years is nothing. Look where we are. It's 12 months now since they began, 13, since they began rolling out their so-called vaccines, which are nothing more than death in a needle. No more needles. Remember that. No more needles under any circumstance for any reason. There may be some exceptions, but that's a general rule of thumb you need to take and hold very dearly, or you're not going to be around very long. It's that simple. Novavax. People have been waiting for Novavax for some time, thinking it is a safer platform to get inoculated against a disease that really is so weak and wimpy, it's a joke. 99.9975% of survival from COVID infection, if they can prove you have COVID, and that's with no treatment whatsoever. So tell us what's Novavax, what's in it, why, and how.
Okay, so the Novavax is just the spike protein. It's called a subunit vaccine, and it is grown in moth cells. So what they do is they infect these cells with a virus that causes these moth cells to produce spike protein.
But wait, Erica, there are no viruses, remember?
Right.
We've got to remember that. There's no such thing as a virus. Go ahead, sorry.
Well, whatever this is that they have in a culture allows them to grow spike protein that is pretty much identical to the spike protein that would be produced if it was cultured in human cells, which is something you have to watch out for if you're using different other than human cell types to grow proteins. Sometimes the codons are not optimized for human translation. So what's nice about these moth cells is that the proteins they produce are pretty compatible to be able to interact with the human immune system and almost identical to the virus that you want to make antibodies against. So, but here's the thing. This is still based on the idea that antibodies to a coronavirus are protective, when in fact, I would say at least 18 years, maybe even 30 years, if we want to go back to the history with cats and coronaviruses and trying to come up with a vaccine for cats, the antibodies are not protective. They've never been protective. It was just a matter of inducing antibodies in a animal. We would have had a vaccine a long time ago. But in every instance, the antibodies that were generated ended up being deleterious when the wild-type virus was encountered at a later date. And rather than being protective, these antibodies actually acted like Trojan horses and coated the virus and allowed it to go further and deeper into the body than it normally would have. And that is what sets the stage for the cytokine storm and then the multi-system organ failure and hyperinflammatory response that is very difficult to control once it starts. So I don't know why they're thinking that this is going to be any different. But here we have just the spike protein, and we're attempting to induce the body to create antibodies against it so that they'll be protected at a future date. Time will tell. But the other thing is
One quickie. This is the same spike protein that we've all come to know and love as one of the deadliest things humankind has ever created. The same one. And they're just making a vaccine, a so-called vaccine, just with that same spike protein. Is that correct?
Yes, there's no virus with this. It's just the spike protein, and they've complexed it with an adjuvant that they're calling Matrix M, which is a saponin from a soap bark tree. So a saponin is kind of a soapy-like substance, mm-hmm. and it allows the injection or the fluid to disperse in an aqueous solution.
It's kind of a lubricant, so to speak.
Yeah, or detergent, surfactant.
Yeah.
And now what the antigenic potential of this Matrix M is, I don't know. I mean, it's an irritant, and the minute it comes in contact with red blood cells, they will explode.
Wait. They're putting something in this vaccine that will make red blood cells explode on contact? And they know this?
Yes. That's
clever.
Part of the irritating the immune system or getting the attention of the immune system to do something, respond.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't know what portion of the population may be sensitive or allergic to saponins. One example of saponin allergy is many people, they may or may not realize it, are allergic to quinoa, the ancient grain quinoa. Mm-hmm. And it's not really the quinoa that they're allergic to, it's the saponin in the quinoa. So that's a question mark. You know, what sort of allergic response might somebody have, anaphylactic or otherwise, to this adjuvant? But nonetheless, we now know that the spike protein all by itself, with or without the rest of the virus attached to it, is toxic. And, you know, in some cases, potentially
it's
lethal.
Deadly.
Yeah, because it will interact with just about everything it comes into contact with. You've got signaling molecules that are circulating in the body at any given time that this spike protein can interact with, whether it's platelets, red blood cells, immune cells, and then you've got any number of receptors that it can interact with, not just the ACE2, but several others as well, and it may be acting as an agonist to those receptors, meaning it upregulates them, or an antagonist, meaning it downregulates them. So this thing is so disruptive all by itself. And then we have the possibility that it's crossing the blood-brain barrier and getting into the brain and causing problems there.
Problems like prion disease.
And that's well-established.
Well-established. And not to mention microclotting from head to toe.
Yes.
So
why? The spike protein all by itself can induce clotting.
I just don't understand why they would put only spike protein. Here, let's just do this again. Just so all of you get it. This is a brilliant doctor. I want you to hear what he has to say. I'd love to hear what he has to say about Novavax. But here's what he has to say about the spike protein that the Novavax is composed of.
The most important thing, I think, for us to understand is that the pathogen that was causing all the death in COVID illness. Now, I use the word COVID illness because we haven't really isolated the coronavirus that causes it. But in COVID illness, the pathogen is spike protein. And spike protein is what the vaccine is meant to make in your body. So if I had to give you my opinion as to what is happening on a global scale, and a lot of the work that I'm doing behind the scenes is in this direction, spike protein is one of the most contrived toxins or poisons that man has ever made. And the aim of this toxin is to kill billions without anyone noticing it.
Now, I really wish I could talk to this gentleman, that's Dr. Chetty, and ask him what he thinks about the Novavax, composed only, essentially, of spike proteins. Do we know how many spike proteins? Do we have a guess? We do know that in the Pfizer and Moderna vax, there are over 500 trillion virus packets with mRNA in them that go in there and set up and change your body's cells to start producing spike protein and releasing them. 500 trillion. So one wonders how many spike proteins only are contained in every Novavax injection. We still don't know. I'm not sure that information is even released.
They measure it by weight, and apparently each injection has 5 micrograms. I don't know how many spike proteins that entails.
This is hard to believe.
But again, we're dealing with nano, so it's not going to stay at the injection site. It's going to roam around and wherever it goes, it goes. There's another issue here, too, with this spike protein, even though it's just the spike protein, because we now know that there are these epitopes on the spike protein, which means that's just a sequence of peptides that can cause an immune reaction. The immune system sees it. And because there's such extensive cross-reactivity with proteins that are in the human body, there's a very good chance of inducing some sort of autoimmune disorder. I mean, I just cite that study that came out, I think it was last year sometime, actually. I only read it recently. But they were looking at the what they call molecular mimicry between the spike protein and the female reproductive system. And this is just the reproductive system in females, not the rest of the body. But they found that there were 41 epitopes in the spike, just the spike, that could cross-react with 27 human proteins in the female reproductive system.
Do you understand, everyone, what she said? She said that in the spike protein are epitopes. Now, epitopes are not a full, necessarily, duplicate of a protein in the ovaries, let's say. It could be two-thirds of a duplicate. It's a clone, but not necessarily complete, and it will trigger your immune system to go after the epitope in the spike protein, but also after the full protein in the ovary.
Yeah.
Same thing. In other words, it's a mirror. All right? It's kind of a doppelganger.
It sometimes loses the ability to distinguish between friend and foe, and that's called breaking tolerance. And I think that this spike protein, I have to wonder if that's part of the design, is to...
Who put it together? Come on, this didn't just happen. How many proteins are in the body to choose from? And gosh, gee, there are 27 just about dead ringers for proteins in the human reproductive system. No, this was intentional. This is a designed weapon to sterilize females on this planet and ultimately
sure
kill
seems
them.
Seems like it, yeah. Sure,
it didn't just happen. And those are just the 27 that we know about. We don't know how many other epitopes or similar protein genetic copies, not necessarily full, but close enough to trick your immune system to go after it in your own body, not just in the spike protein. You see what I'm saying? It goes after the epitope in the spike. It also goes after the real deal in your body because the epitopes are so close to being identical. This is
That's
crazy.
Right.
This is so evil. It's beyond belief.
Yeah.
So if you're thinking, oh, the Novavax is coming out, I'm going to get it. I hope all of you can share this program with your friends who are thinking along those lines, maybe save a few lives. Are we seeing any negative injuries already from the use? Now, Novavax is in Canada. It's not here yet, but it's coming soon to a needle near you.
Yeah, I think it's being distributed in Australia, Canada, in parts of Europe right now. It will be available in the United States. I don't know what the holdup is. They probably want to get more Moderna and Pfizer into people before they release this.
Well, they got too much inventory.
But it's being produced by Emergent BioSolutions in Maryland. And if you remember, that was the facility that was shut down because they were mixing... Well, they had some sanitation violations, but they were mixing up the J&J ingredients with the AstraZeneca ingredients, and I don't think that they've been cleared for further manufacturing or release of any product at this point. But at any rate, yes, there are reactions being reported in people who have taken this Novavax that are remarkably similar to what the people with the Pfizer Moderna have experienced. Weird taste in the mouth immediately after the injection, and then headaches, cognitive issues, dizziness.
Clotting?
I haven't heard of clotting yet.
All right, now let's talk about clotting just for a minute or two. Everyone's heard of clotting. All of you listeners know about clotting with the Pfizer and the Moderna. AstraZeneca was probably the worst. J&J uses a virus to deliver the spike protein manufacturing to the body. It's a viral vector. So what we have here is something that really merits a lot more thought before it's released on the public. It's another killer. A blood clot... A naturally formed blood clot. Let's say you take a long plane flight. You got DVT, deep vein thrombosis. That's a clot. You get a clot from Pfizer or Moderna. What's the difference between these two clots? They're not the same thing. They're not the same kind of clot. Tell us what they are, Erica.
No, these are pathological, abnormal clots. They form... Very quickly, when you have a cut and your body is trying to heal that, it puts layers down in an orderly fashion, and so it's well timed, it's precise, and orderly. With this thing, the clotting that the spike protein induces, it's abnormal. It's very fast. And it's structurally different, and the composition of it is different than a normal clot. It does contain amyloids, which are proteins that are misfolded and resistant to being degraded. It has other things in it besides the normal fibrin, white blood cells, red blood cells, and platelets. It's got other signaling molecules in there. And this is rather interesting. It has the molecule that's measured on a D-dimer test within it. So sometimes you can be clotting, and that D-dimer test will still be negative because the component that they're looking for in the blood is tied up in these clots. So it's not measurable. They're very pathological clots, and they don't tend to break down on their own. They're resistant to fibrinolysis, which is the enzyme that would break down these clots normally and then sweep them away.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, they're not clots that you want to have. They just tend to, when they start, they grow and they create a plug inside the capillaries.
These are clots from hell. They're not remotely normal. Your body can't take care of them. They're not designed to be taken care of by your body. And heparin and other blood thinners aren't. Yes, this is so evil. And I think all of you have gotten that point long ago, or you wouldn't be listening. All right, we've got a little video here, a clip of Dr. Fleming. If you'd like to play it, we can do that. You want to set that up and we'll run it?
Sure.
Okay, so what are we going to hear?
He's just talking. We've heard this before, but again, to reiterate, the spike protein and how we know that it crosses the blood-brain barrier. And in mice, it was enough to kill them within 2 weeks. And when they autopsied the mice, there was evidence of spongiform encephalopathy, which is, mad cow disease. Yep. And they also performed it in rhesus macaque monkeys. Mm-hmm. And they let them live for another 5 weeks after they injected them with the spike protein. And when they autopsied the monkeys, their brain was full of these amyloid deposits, Lewy bodies, and other abnormal protein aggregates. So the spike protein is toxic. It's not something you want going into your brain.
Yeah, just wait till it's been given its EUA here, and you can go out and get a Novavax. A good injection of spike protein, and you'll feel wonderful. This is all, it's just getting worse and worse. All right, here's Dr. Fleming. Let's see what he has to say.
Research before we do people research, so that we can find out what's really going on before exposing all of you, the upper animals, right? Okay, well, here's what we know from animal studies. In humanized mice, so that was mice that we gave ACE2 receptors to so we could work with them on this. After 2 weeks, 95% of the animals were dead. When we looked at those animals, we saw this under the microscope. This kind of looks like a sponge, right? This is what it's supposed to look like, all this. But this is what happens, and this looks like a sponge, and it's in the brain. So in medicine and science, we call that spongiform encephalopathy. Okay? And the general public calls this mad cow disease. We also know in rhesus macaque monkeys, because those are the closest thing to us to use as a model to see what will happen to us, that in 5 to 6 weeks, when the animals were sacrificed, this part of their brain was infected with the spike protein. And when we looked at their brains, we saw inflammatory cells and we saw Lewy bodies. That's Alzheimer's disease and other neurologic diseases. These animals didn't have this before they were exposed. This is the result of the spike protein crossing the blood-brain barrier, which is exquisitely good at, and getting to its target. There's a doctor, a PhD by the name of Kevin W. McCarron in Japan, who's done more research. He is probably the world's expert on animal models, on primate models, and these diseases. And for a year, Dr. McCarron has been warning the world that this is going to have, that this spike protein crosses the blood-brain barrier and will have damaging neurologic effects like it did on the monkeys. He's done animal models showing what happens when you damage this part of the brain, and his animal models match exactly this type of damage with neurologic disease. There are scientists around the world trying to address this problem and bring home the information that you need.
Okay, you get it? Spike protein is linked inexorably to prion disease of the brain and other brain diseases. It goes right through the blood-brain barrier. It will kill you. You will go into a zombie state, and then your brain will cease to function, and you will die. That's what they have planned for us. Novavax.
It's only spike protein. It's nutty. The other thing I forgot to mention with these, the side effects that are being reported thus far with the Novavax mm-hmm. is the heart palpitations. So it does seem as though when this vaccine is injected, the contents are going systemic, much like the mRNA and the Pfizer Moderna, and reaching places like the brain and the heart, which is worrisome.
We have another fun topic we should probably get into now. Anything you want to add to this? Just remember, the Novavax is essentially composed of nothing but spike proteins, and spike proteins, according to Dr. Chetty and others, is the most vile, evil, horrible, deadly thing that humankind has ever produced and then injected into human beings. It is the worst. And this Novavax is composed of essentially nothing but spike proteins. Okay,
and making antibodies against the spike protein may not be the best thing. I mean, it runs the risk of the antibody dependent enhancement for a future infection, and I think a very high probability of inducing some sort of autoimmune disease due to the cross reactivity of all the epitopes in the spike protein itself with human proteins.
And we don't know how many really ultimately epitopes there are in the spike protein. And then there's that other protein, that new protein, that nobody knows what it does. And it's as big or bigger than the spike protein. It's in the Pfizer. I don't know if it's in Moderna or not. Is it in both?
Well, that's just the RNA. So this thing is supposedly just spike. There's no mRNA or uh-huh. mystery protein in it.
Okay.
Supposedly.
All right. It's all right. Well, we trust them, of course. Here we are. How would you all like to be given a prescription? Most all Americans are on prescriptions, plural, 4 or 5 a month, maybe 6, 7 a month. Who knows? And what if the government wanted to be sure you were taking your meds? Well, guess what? They've got a new way to do that now. You know, tell them what it is, then I'll play the little video.
Well, if we want to ensure compliance, that you're taking the prescribed medication in the timetable that you're supposed to, they're going to include a sensor or microchip in the pill so that when you swallow it, you will be able to transmit a signal to a patch on your skin somewhere that will interface with your smartphone and confirm whether or not the medication has been taken as instructed.
So it's going to tell Big Brother whether you take your pills or not. This
right.
This is astonishing. This is science fiction. This is science insanity. But it's real. It's in a chip that's in a pill, and they're going to make you, when you get a prescription, have another bottle of pills. You'll have to take one a day so the government knows for sure you're taking and staying on your meds. This is madness.
Yeah, and this idea was hatched 2012. Possibly before then. Obviously before then, because they approved it. This what they're calling an edible chip, not a potato chip, but a microchip, back in 2012. And then they subsequently included it in a medication for the first time in 2017.
So again, it's already out there. You take the pill dissolves, the little chip in there chirps to the little patch you have on your arm or wherever you put it. That little patch talks to your cell phone, which talks directly to Big Brother's computer farms and logs in your compliance.
Yeah.
You took your pills.
And if you don't take your pills, you get no money and no access to privilege? Or
they shut
your
digital money off?
Camp?
Camp? Fun times ahead. And what if you didn't want to be put on a prescription? What if somebody came to you and said, we need to interview you, some social workers, and they decided that you needed SSRIs, for example, just for example. They could force you to take them, and then they could monitor you every day to make sure you did take them. That's what's coming. The dissolving
it's complete dystopia.
Pill, the edible chip. All right, here's a little 60-second World Economic Forum clip that we'll play. Let's see what kind of enlightenment these jokers have for us.
All of these advances are amazing. But even if you make the greatest drug or the greatest wearable, there's no guarantee that the patient is going to take the drug, wear the device. So how are you thinking about technology to engage the patient?
How are you thinking about technology to make sure the patient takes the drug or the prescription every damn day on time? That's the question from the Peanut Gallery. And let's see what the people in the round table have to say by way of an answer.
Yeah. Again, maybe I will use an example. I think it's fascinating what's happening in this field right now. I mean, FDA approved the first electronic pill, if I can call it like that. So
yeah, you go ahead and call it an electronic pill. I don't care what you call it. It's just slightly an invasion of privacy, just slightly.
It is a basically biological chip that it is in the tablet. And once you take the tablet and dissolves into your stomach, sends a signal that you took the tablet. So imagine the applications of that, the compliance, the insurance companies to know that the medicines that patients should take, they do.
It's all about, he said the word, compliance. You will comply, or you will go to a camp, or you will pay other penalties, such as going without money, i.e. going without food, whatever. Compliance. That's what they want. Total hegemonization of the human species, what's left of it. Here's more.
It is fascinating what happens in this field. But of course, there will be an initial cost, but someone is to invest.
Of course, there'll be an initial cost, but someone is to invest. And do you think possibly there might be a profit in this, Erica? A little money to be made somewhere?
Yeah, I would say so.
Take your damn pill so we can be damn sure you took your damn other pills. Unbelievable. This is not science fiction in somebody's book. This is real. They're doing this. They have
this
technology.
Well, and they're creating
right
the diseases now
right.
to justify selling us cures. The whole thing is dystopic. It's incredible.
Well, think about it. What are they really doing? What are they, capital T with a quotes around it, what are they doing? They are genociding much of the planet, and even in that most hideous of activities, they're still making money. It's all about greed. They never get enough greed. So they're killing off two-thirds of the planet or more and getting even more rich in the process. That's the truth.
And in the meantime, the people that consent to these interventions, so to speak, become sick and weak and dependent on treatments. I mean, I can't tell you how many people that I in the past year I've just seen through these various support groups, post-vaccine support groups, that are they're crippled. They're crippled.
Their lives are over. And they're building microclots. Microclots around the clock. Don't forget that.
Mm-hmm.
And these clots are not anything like normal clots. Okay? This has been thought
through. I mean, some have gone blind.
So
some are paralyzed.
Blind. Yeah. Some can't swallow, some can't walk, some can't write anymore. They're injured into being really candidates for full caretaking. There's nothing they can do for themselves in many cases. The
and
FDA...
Now,
go ahead.
Well, add to that the explosion of cancer.
Yeah, I had a story about that today. Can't remember where it was. But as we said on this program months and months ago, there, Erica said there was going to be a cancer epidemic, and there is a cancer epidemic. And the story I read today, if I remember, did it not say that they're seeing cancers that they have never seen before and have no name for?
Yeah, yes.
Think about that. Who are these people? Are they human? Really? And what are they doing? Eradicating the people of this planet. And which group did they choose first to eradicate? White, Western, First World Christians. They're the first to go. Why? Because they'll only have second and third world, basically, to deal with after that. And they'll just cull as they will and keep enough around to be their servants and slaves. They don't want intelligent people here. One wonders if this planet is truly being terraformed for another dominant race to come in here. Maybe a human ET hybrid race. I don't know. But again, I go back to Dr. David Jacobs' book, The Threat, which is a fabulous book, and I would consider it a must-read. The Threat makes it quite clear that David Jacobs has come to the conclusion that whatever they were doing, hybridizing humans and ETs, they're done. They did it. The operation is finished, concluded. And where are all these hundreds of thousands of half-human, half-ETs? Some are still here, I'm sure, walking around if they look close enough to pass. I'm not so sure that many of them couldn't put out mental energy that would cause everyone around them within eyesight to see them as a normal person, even if they didn't look normal. I think there was a movie about that. So, yeah, crazy. And back to the edible chip, the dissolving pill, as Erica said, the FDA first approved an edible electronic sensor in 2012. That means they've been working on it for, what, 5-6 years before that? Who knows, 10? We don't know.
Yep.
But that was the approval.
Yep.
It's all mind-boggling, all of it. It's absolutely incredible.
Now, well, and with nanotechnology, you've got to really think about what you're eating. I mean, there are things they're putting in food now, sensors of various types. They could put anything in the food supply. We know that.
And your smartphone is on, and you've eaten your yogurt, and you've eaten your sensor, and it triggers your cell phone and lets the controllers know and the producers know and the big dairy companies know, hey, we just had someone eat another one of our yogurts. It's all there. This isn't sci-fi. It's here.
Yeah,
and that's part of the way they're getting away. They're getting away with it.
The nanotechnology is so. What do I want to say? Stealth, sneaky.
Sure.
I mean, a little bit goes a long way, and can have very profound effects. And it doesn't necessarily have to come through a needle, although that's pretty efficient, but, you know, it can be aerosolized. It can be put into food.
Easy into the food. Chemtrails, we know. It can be breathed. It can be put in the water supply. It can be put in soft drinks. It can be put in anything. It can be put in organic orange juice. Who the hell knows?
Quite a bit of nanotechnology that's used in food processing these days. You'd be astounded. You know, for so-called benign purposes, you know, preservative and that flavorings, that type of thing. But nano is so dangerous because it bypasses all all your body's defenses. It's so small, it slips right through cell membranes and can disrupt things at the cellular level.
And can be designed to accomplish practically any goal within your memory's reach.
Right.
Think back. What would you like to accomplish? And they could probably do it with nanotech.
Yep.
All right. I don't know where this is all going to go, but it is what we do know they're working on is just a fraction of the totality of the investment into advanced nanosciences. And the idea of putting it in food is certainly an older one, but I do believe it's pardon the pun, it's on the table right now. I think they're doing it. You've got another one here, Medicago. This is a plant-based vax.
Yeah, this is another option that was just approved in Canada as a COVID vaccine.
Uh-huh.
And this one's is actually grown in plants. And it's, again, subunits. It's virus-like particles. And now what particles those are, they're vague. I had trouble finding much of anything out about this. But it's been approved. It is available in Canada. So it's virus-like particles in a solution with an adjuvant known as AS03. What's a little bit concerning about that is that it's a squalene-based adjuvant.
All right, let's tell everyone what squalene is. A lot of people may have heard it, don't remember what it is, where it came from. Think Gulf War illness, and they put it in there as an adjuvant.
Yeah, squalene was the... Yeah. It was an adjuvant that was used in the anthrax vaccine and given to troops that were deployed in Iraq. And it was later found out to be the culprit in some or a lot of the Gulf War illness. It was responsible for inducing autoimmune diseases of many types, like lupus or antiphospholipid antibody syndrome. It's nasty. It's in fact, they use squalene to induce multiple sclerosis in mice. It's that predictable. So you want to be careful with anything that contains squalene as an injectable adjuvant. And then the other thing it contains is the polysorbate 80, which is a detergent or surfactant. But that's been associated with fertility issues in women. Mm-hmm. So, you know,
well,
it's an experiment.
We have no, we are the experiment. We have no end of fun things to look forward to. And for all of you Anthony Fauci fan club members, let me assure you that a Senate committee today rejected a measure from Senator Rand Paul that would have eliminated the position held by Dr. Tony since 1984.
Incredible.
So he keeps skating right along, making lots of money, no problem. The Senate Committee on Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions voted 17-5 to reject the measure, which was proposed as an amendment to S3799, the Prevent Pandemics Act. Don't they have cute names for these things? S3799, the Prevent Pandemics Act. So, Senators Rand Paul, Mike Brown, Roger Marshall, Tim Scott, and Tommy Tuberville voted yes. The rest of the Republicans, so-called Republicans, including ranking member Senator Richard Burr, Republican North Carolina, and Mitt Romney, Republican of Utah, joined the Democrats in voting no. Let's keep Tony right where he is. There you go. So watch for the other voices coming up, though. There are certain people that are being groomed and I think quite clearly, very cleverly placed, and they are going to begin to carry more and more of the burden. They'll be talked to more for their opinions. They'll be consulted, and they'll be quoted. So there you go. Oh, by the way, the Australian Novavax injections, already, as I mentioned earlier, they're having some injuries reported. Let me see this real quick. This blogger tries to be understanding and empathetic. A lot of souls around the globe contact us every day with all kinds of questions about the injections and COVID dystopia in general. COVID dystopia in general. But a breaking point was reached last week when the 8th or 9th Aussie wrote and asked something to the effect of, I have the jab for work. Is Novavax safer than the others? The frustration spilled over in a tweet. And the tweet says, next person who writes us with a question like, is Novavax a safer option than the rest? I'm telling the moderators to encourage you to go ahead and take it. If you're dense enough to believe any of these experimental injections are safer than any of the others, you deserve whatever comes to you. So the word is out, at least in Australia. And that Novavax will be here. Keep in mind.
Yeah, it's coming. It's coming.
It's all money.
That's all it is. I know they're chomping at the bit to get this CRISPR thing going. And I suspect that that's going to be offered for people that have, you know, integrated some portion of this RNA into their own genome to try to excise it out.
Right. Now imagine, again, I go back to this, imagine a vaccine that is nothing but spike protein. That's all it is.
Yep.
Well, a couple of little items, but it's
well, I would, again, I make the comparison. Would you inject yourself with ricin? Would that be a good thing?
Is that a perfectly good case to raise? Here, I just found this. Just to let you know, Indonesia was the first country to authorize Novavax for emergency use. The Philippines followed suit shortly thereafter. The EU, the European Union, authorized it in December. Australia, India, South Korea, and the UK have also authorized Novavax shots for emergency use. The Bill Gates-owned Gavi Vaccine Alliance bought 350 million doses of Novavax to distribute to lower-income economies. You get the picture? I think it's crystal clear. They're not going to slacken in any way in their plans. Nothing will stop them. They are going to achieve their agenda, and that is massively decreased world population with a servant or slave class left behind, totally controlled, utterly submissive. Remember, they'll have their little cell phone to report on them. If they don't take their medicine, if they don't take their medications, they're in trouble. It's crazy.
You know, the funny thing is that the Gen Xers or Gen Zs probably see nothing wrong with this.
Oh, I agree. Good point. No, they don't know. And the Gen Z may be the last generation mm-hmm. of people as we know them. And that's no accident that they came out with Gen Z. And no, they think this is probably okay. They're so simple-minded, most of them, not all, because there's some listening right now, and bless all of you. But the government will never lie to me. The government will take care of me. It's like my doctor will never lie to me or take poor care of me. Doctors kill people all the time, nonstop. Somebody goes in with a cough. They get admitted to a hospital. First thing they're put on is an IV with remdesivir. End of story.
And they're still denying the treatments that work.
Ivermectin should be given to every patient immediately, but of course it's not.
Right.
And if you have anyone who's thinking about going into a hospital, you damn well better make sure that you go in first and make certain that on their chart it says no remdesivir, none.
Yep.
All right. Thank you, Erica. Talk soon.
Okay, my pleasure, Jeff. Good evening.
We will be back tomorrow night in 21 hours. Talk to you then. There's a hell of a lot going on out there, and we hope we're making some sense of it for you. Take care. Talk tomorrow night.